It is a Wednesday afternoon, the 27th day of February. On the phone line from Stuart Peterson here in Champaign County is Jackie Vakes. Jackie, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon and for making the trip all the way to Belleville, Illinois, near St. Louis last night for what I thought was a really great Ag Outlook panel.
It really was a great Ag. And for all of those down there, I just got to say, wheat, wheat, wheat.
Again, yeah, you get down to Washington County, and they remind us that, yeah, indeed, there they are the number one wheat-growing county in the state of Illinois, and so it does make a difference to them. Anything you learned in particular while you were there last night?
Well, I think when you look at the big picture, of course, there are a lot of cattle growers down there, too, and the talk about the aflatoxin corn, they were hit hardest, probably in the whole state, when it comes to loss of corn. But they're dealing with aflatoxin corn, and I think it's a bigger issue than what anybody's really giving it credit for. You know, when I went to the USDA meeting, I asked them if they had any idea how much corn was in storage out there that was actually aflatoxin, and I'm talking about at elevators as well as on farms. And they have no idea, and they have no money to be able to do that. And I think that's something that's being overlooked by the trade, because we could get to a point, if you can't source good corn out of the north, and you know, you had questionable corn, or out of the east where we had good corn, it's going to get to be a very difficult situation, because you have to blend aflatoxin corn whether you want to or not. And so that was the big topic. And of course, the number one and number two questions were, you know, where are prices going? We hear that everywhere we go, whether it's on cattle or hogs or it's on grains. You know, so I just thought it was a great meeting, and we had a great turnout.
And we have a whole bunch of meetings that are actually coming up. Our Ag Outlook all day long one is next Tuesday. That's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I talked to John Bondurant this morning. He is scheduled to be here and planning to be here on Tuesday of next week. Looking forward to hearing from him. He has several things that he wants to make sure that we discuss that day. And one of the things I think you might find of interest is that John wants to take up population and not its growth, but its decline in some places, potentially including in China, the United States. Europe's already on a declining path. Ukraine's already on a declining path. And what he thinks that might mean. So it'll be a really good day. Jackie, we have what? Just 12. Get this. Just 12 of the 300. How many did we sell? 365, 370? Maybe as many as 380. I don't quite recall. But just 12 tickets left. And we will sell those this afternoon. And if you don't have a ticket, you won't be able to get in. So if you want to come, you need to dial in at 217-333-7300. Go ahead and do that now or write it down. We have 12 tickets left for All Day Ag Outlook. It's over at the Beef House. It's a great program. It includes a continental breakfast in the morning, a Beef House meal at the noon hour, and we'll be there all day long. Starts next week on Tuesday, March the 5th. The number to call is 217-333-7300. I'm done with my commercial, Jackie.
Okay.
Well, somebody's got to do it. It's really funny. This is what I think year three or four that we will have put, you know, about 400 folks over at the Beef House. And it amazes me each and every time that many people listen and want to come and see the analyst. And it's really all about you guys. They want to know what you have to say. And this year they'll want to know about crop insurance, and they'll want to know about, it's sequester, for instance, in Washington, D.C., even.
Well, yeah, the sequester. Well, you know, today it appears that everybody's accepted the fact that it's inevitable, but we do see a little shifting going on. They're talking about changing how they're going to furlough the meat inspectors, especially because it would idle 8,400 meat plants for the next 2 weeks if they don't do it. So they're talking about one day a week. But the difficulty that exists from sequester is that this is required by Congress, and they say you must have a line-by-line cut, and that cut has to be 5 to 6%. Well, the reality is that because of where we are in the fiscal year, that now becomes 10 to 12%.
The remaining budget. Yeah, because we're halfway
right
through the fiscal year.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, these are things that are going to be very difficult. And at the same time that they are now scheduled to talk about that on Friday, they're going to be deep into the talks about March 27th, which is the date set for whether or not the government continues to operate. And so, you know, all of these things affect our market, whether we like it or not. Even Berlusconi and his antics over in Italy and getting back into power again, those types of things, they all have an impact on where our markets go. And so today was an interesting day. You know, it's going to be first notice day tomorrow. May now becomes a front month. I heard you talking about May. Friday, tomorrow is the last day of the month. We now have the cheapest wheat, spring wheat, or soft red wheat, excuse me,
right,
in the world. And so that has brought about some short covering both in the corn and the bean market. The one thing I want our listeners to understand is short covering is just that. This is not new buying. And so until we see some new buying, we have no real confidence in the market going a lot higher at this point. We've got the USDA report coming next week. There are just so many things that are going on at this point that we have little to no control over.
What do you make of wheat and corn, lead month March at least, and I know they're both in expiration, but the two of those are about to go into expiration, two of those being equal in price?
Well, it does bring a different dynamic. I mean, it certainly, you will have your pundits who are going to say, okay, a lot of your feedlots are going to switch over to wheat now, and whether that be true or not, I did nutrition consulting for 16 years. It's not as easy as they make it look. But it is still a reality. You will see some wheat fed at these prices. Normally, if they're within 50 cents of each other, they are definitely competitors. And you know, we definitely need some additional feed grains that are not overpriced when you look at where we are as far as corn goes. It's just not going to be an easy situation, especially if we run into an issue where you can't blend aflatoxin corn because of the inability to get good corn.
Just for reference, March corn, by the way, at 709 and a half, and March wheat at 704 and a quarter. So they're very close in price. Hey, speaking of the month of March, we have several reports. End of the month we'll deal with later, probably. That'll be grain stocks and the acreage report. That, and we'll talk more about that than you can shake a stick at later on. But we have a mid-month report on the 8th, too, that's coming out.
That's right. That's the USDA report, supply and demand. And you know, the expectations for that report are very little change in the U.S. numbers when it comes to corn and beans, maybe a little higher wheat number perhaps. At the world level, though, they're looking at higher corn and higher wheat numbers, primarily coming out of Europe, former Soviet Union, India, and you know, but not beans. And beans are an interesting situation here in the U.S. You know, we only have 16 days beyond September 1st as far as ending stocks go in the U.S., but, you know, the reality is we have 82% of our intended or expected exports already inspected and gone. 1.1 billion bushels out of 1.345. And
what's the percentage again?
82%.
82%, and we have to get from now until September
1st.
1st?
No, August 31st, yes. Yeah. That doesn't sound real realistic now, does it?
that's the reality a long haul between here and there, that's for sure.
Yeah, we better be figuring out where we're gonna produce beans from some other place than in the field, because this is a really strong situation. And so, you know, the expectation, I believe, is that we will see the USDA bump us, you know, somewhat on exports, but how far can we bump? We're not gonna see carryout. I don't believe in my lifetime see the USDA ever take carryout to zero. It wouldn't make any sense for us, because we do not want to be looked on as unreliable exporters.
Well, wouldn't this be the time of the year that we begin to start maybe another month and a half out, April, May, June, July, that they would move from North America to South America to source soybeans?
Well, you know, that certainly is the train of thought that most people use. Everything depends upon how competitive they are. Right now you hear horror stories of them being 20, 30, 40 ships behind on loading. And so, you know, countries still will come to places like us if they know they can get it. That's just it. And so, you know, with only 245 million bushels still remaining to be sold to reach the USDA expectation, you would figure that they would probably raise that number. But they're caught between a rock and a hard place, because our carryout already is very low. And so it's going to be interesting. The only thing that tells me is that old crop bean price is probably going to have to do some work to try and stymie exports. You know, and that means we most likely will have to go higher than where we are right now.
Hey, this just in, Tracy tells me there are now 10 tickets left for all the Ag Outlook.
Cool.
So from the time we talked about it to the time they came down, we've sold another two, 217-333-7300 for your ticket, too. Okay, so a couple of other things. Brazil, actually, along with producing soybeans, has become or is becoming a pretty good producer of corn, and you've got some break-even prices for moving corn around from north to south there. It's a really big country, by the way.
It is. Until you go there, we were there in 2006, you don't recognize that it's as large as the entire United States. And they, too, are just like we were this year. They have all the corn in the wrong place compared to where it's used. And so most of the corn is in Mato Grosso in the north, and it is it's needed down in the south. Now, break-even corn costs, as of today, $6.90 a bushel. I know, pick yourself up off the ground, $6.90 a bushel. And the cost to ship a bushel of corn from the north to south today is $3.50 a bushel. And I talked with Dr. Cornier about this, and he's the one that gave me the stats. He said, you know, if you can store your grain and you can wait until the soybean harvest slows down, you might be able to save yourself a dollar and a half a bushel, but you're still looking at about $2 a bushel to be able to move the grain. And so the Brazilian government for years now has been subsidizing it by buying corn in the north at the full market price, shipping it to the south, and then selling it at auction. Lose, lose, lose. They've been losing every single year, so now they're talking about stopping or reducing that program. And so a lot of things are going on down there. But just can you imagine if it would cost you $3.50 a bushel to move a bushel of corn here in the United States? And it's no different for beans in that respect. So it's just a very competitive and compelling situation. They're actually building an ethanol plant in Mato Grosso to try and use up some of the corn. 800,000 hectares last year went from pasture land into corn and bean land. So can you imagine, is that any big surprise that we're now going to have a record crop?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County, joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.